many different versions of you are there? Probably we have several. Has anybody ever said to you, well, you don't seem yourself today? Or as the famous Snickers commercial, you're not yourself when you're hungry. Have you ever been talking on the phone and have somebody in your family point out, well, you are using professional voice? So we have these different variations of how we conduct ourselves. A certain way when we're at home, a certain way when we're at work, a certain way when we are stressed, a certain way when we're at the beach, all kinds of different things. Times even when it seems to surprise us. St. Paul understood this. He said, why do I do the things I hate? We know that some of the versions of us are much less than we wish they were. So we have the answer to this question as maybe several different versions of me. Maybe it depends. But probably the truth is, no matter what version of me is coming out at a given moment, all of it is me, in fact. All of it is who I really am. I might be able to project certain personas at certain time, but all of that is in me. Mark Twain, the famous author, he captured this very well in his own autobiography. He said this, "What a wee little part of a person's life are his acts and words. His real life is in his head, hidden. Its volcanic fires toss and boil and never rest day and night. These are his life, and they are not written and cannot be written." Also capturing an aspect of these variations on us. I love the phrase that he has, this volcanic fire tossing and boiling and never resting. How many times have I heard people say that I can't even sleep at night, my mind always racing. All of this going on in and around us. We know that this is true, what he says. We know that what is happening in our heads all of the time, that's who we are. And the things that we do and the things that we say, they capture a portion of that, but not always the best portion, and certainly not ever the whole story. I think of this truth as I look at all of these pictures. Just imagine all of the stories and all of the experiences of the people that are remembered here. People of all different backgrounds, all different ages, living in different eras, experiencing different things, having a story of their very own life. It would be impossible, as Mark Twain says. It would not be possible to capture a real person's story. It would take too many volumes. So multiply it by the number of people we have here. So much of their stories, but so much that we could only guess about. But as amazing as that is, as layered as our lives really are, and as little as people outside of us really know us, all of it is known to God. All of it is understood intimately by the God who made us. In fact, God never asks the question, why are you acting that way? Even when we wonder ourselves, because God sees our real motivations. He knows what's underneath it all. The God who made us knows us. It's part of why we have these pictures in front of this altar. Because we believe that the God who created each of these souls desires to bring them back to Himself. And that we believe in a God of mercy, a God who loved each of these souls enough that He sent His Son to die so that we might live, to reconcile so that we can live with God forever. The fact that God knows us intimately and who we really are, this is probably the most profound truth of human existence. Because it's the only comprehensive reality of who we are. It is a truth that we definitely should reflect on more and pray with on a regular basis. To sit down in quiet and ask, how does God see me? It's a question we might be afraid to ask, in fact. Because we have a tendency to emphasize the hidden bad that is in us. And so we don't want to even acknowledge that that is there, much less bring it to light in any way. But of course, God already knows the hidden bad that is in us. But God makes it very clear that He's not so much interested in the hidden bad. The reason that we should look at how God sees us is because God is the only person that can see underneath the bad that is in us. God is the only one who knows the truth of who we are and still sees the person He created. God still sees the person He made in His own image and likeness. And He wants us to look with Him into the depths of who we are, so that He can help us see who we are made to be. So that He can help us root out of us all of those variations that don't reflect who we really are. Think of today's parable. Would I be numbered among the foolish or the wise? Jesus always sets up these stories, and in comparing various people, He calls on us to look in the mirror and say, where do I fit in this story? Am I the person that stays awake? Am I the person that is well prepared? Am I foolish or am I wise? The honest answer is both, probably. At times, I do okay. At times, rather foolish. These variations in me, they reflect the bad and the good. But Jesus tells this parable because He is the God who knows us. So when Jesus holds up for us these examples, the foolish and the wise, it's not first of all a critique of our foolishness, but rather a call to a higher aspiration. It is an appeal to our better selves. God is holding up an example for us of what wisdom means because He knows that it is within us to have that wisdom. He knows because He is filling us with His life and grace. He knows what we are capable of. Now, much can be said about wisdom. In the Bible, there are entire books that are spent explaining all kinds of different ways of understanding wisdom, all kinds of characteristics and situations where we could apply wisdom in our lives. But from today's parable, I want to focus on one aspect of wisdom. Part of wisdom, and a part that is much needed in our own time and probably much needed in each of our lives, part of wisdom is slowing down. How much of our lives do we rush about? How much of our lives do we feel like we have no control over this rushing around? But God calls us to the kind of wisdom that is a slowing down. The reason that the virgins in this parable needed extra oil is because they were going to need to linger. They were going to have to wait. Stay where they are. Take in the moment. Not know how long it would last. They are anticipating the bridegroom. And in this parable, the bridegroom is God. And so part of the parable means a call to accept God's time. But we don't like God's time. We want things to happen now. We feel rushed and we try to rush God. But being patient or accepting God's time, accepting anyone else's time for that matter, that is hard for us. We might try, But how quickly do the questions arise in our mind, where are you? What's taking you so long? Why are you not here already? You said you would be, and quickly our patience runs out and we lose track of anything other than my time. Now, if I'm honest, the questions, where are you, what's taking so long, these are self-centered questions. This is why I believe God lingers. We wonder a lot of times, why is God taking so long? Why does God seem to be so silent when I have a need that feels so urgent? It's a mystery, this timing of God. But I believe that part of the reason that God lingers is because God knows that it is impossible to meet Him while I am self-centered. While I am focused on myself, I can't even see God. And so God is asking us to look away and be able to see Him. I have to look past myself to see God. And so I need God's time, and I need a lot of practice seeing God's time. The reason this is true is because I am complicated. Because there are versions of who I am. Even versions that are contradictory at times. And yet, God loves me. God is patient. God will come, but He will give us time to be ready. He sees the good in me. He calls me, knowing the bad that is in me. He keeps a place for me, but He asks me to work on my focus, to be able to recognize that God is there. So look at all of these photos, the countless stories that they tell, and yet each of these stories, a person known and loved by God. But then look in the pews around you and know that those stories are still happening, and that God knows and loves the people around you who are living, who are on the journey toward the promise of heaven. And so on this day, we pray to learn the lesson that Jesus teaches, to slow down, to look outside of my self-centered concept of time, to see past myself and let God come in God's time. Because when I can be patient and let God come, then God will always bring out the best version of myself.